And good morning. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY, The Morning Show. And I'm in the studio. I'm Susie Press with my co-host, Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie.
It's really nice to see you. I didn't see you last week. I appreciate that appreciate that you took over for me. And I'm back. So, and we have a special guest, too. We have Terry Fortner.
Good morning.
From the Bonnard General Health.
You got it.
Which covers the big picture of our healthcare here in Sandpoint. And we'll get to that interview in just a minute. But, Chris, why don't you do the weather today?
Well, you may have noticed it's mostly cloudy outside, although we do have some sun breaking through. And that snow was a bit of a surprise for
it was
a lot
not
of folks,
welcomed.
I think. We're expecting a high today of 52 degrees. And on Wednesday, we're going to see a chance of showers, 30% chance of showers. The high then will be 56 degrees. The low overnight will be 31 degrees. And that's pretty much the forecast. So we're having that variable weather, highs in the 50s, lows down near the freezing mark or just below the freezing mark for the remainder of the week. And looking ahead to the weekend, they're saying rain is likely, although it'll get a little warmer.
That sounds good to me. Later on, we're going to have a song that's called Winter's Come and Gone. Going to really cinch that thought into place here.
Come and gone, but it hasn't really gone, it seems like. It's still it's come and gone and come.
All right.
Yeah, there we go.
We can deal with that.
Sunrise this morning was at 6:12 a.m. Sunset will be at 7:25 p.m. And in the last week, that means we've gained 25 minutes more of sunlight.
Thank goodness.
Yay. As we're approaching the summer solstice now. The moonrise will come up tonight at 10:54 p.m. It's a waning moon now. We had our full moon on Saturday, and it's about 90% full.
Did you see the, what is that thing that happened with the moon?
What thing?
The lunar eclipse.
The lunar eclipse.
Oh, no.
With the blood moon.
Oh, yeah.
Did
no.
you see it, Terry?
I did. It was beautiful.
Oh, nice.
No, I totally missed that.
Yeah, me too.
That's too bad. Did you see it, Susie?
I did not. No. Didn't want to stay up till, what, midnight, 1 o'clock?
It was pretty early the next day. I wouldn't say it was the night.
Okay.
Our lake level is at 2054. It's holding pretty steady right now. The rivers, since we're in the spring season with runoff, have actually, because of the colder weather we've had, they've declined a little bit. The Priest River is running at 3,500 CFS. It's come down a little bit the last few days. The Moye is at 1,270 CFS, and it's down actually from 2,000 CFS last week. So that means that we're retaining a little water up in the mountains for the rivers to come up higher a little bit later in the season, as is more common, I think.
We can get out there and kayak pretty soon.
Well, yeah. You could be kayaking right now, actually. People are. The Whitewater folks are already out kayaking.
Okay.
And what's gone on around town this week, Susie?
I know a lot of things are coming up, and we are going to be talking about some of the events coming up. But I do want to mention that on tomorrow, we have an extra couple of interviews in the morning. At 8 o'clock, Jim Healy will be in the studio with Team Autism 24/7. At 8 o'clock. And then at 9 o'clock, I'm the lucky one that gets to interview the Shook Twins.
All right.
They'll be here live in the studio because they're here in town to do a special concert for the Waldorf School at the Hive on Friday night.
On Friday night, on the 10th.
Yep.
Yes.
But we'll go over the whole, as many of the events as we can, but they're also where, Chris?
They're also...
On Sandpoint Online.
Well, yes, on the Sandpoint Online calendars and as well as KRFY.org have complete calendars. There's always too much going on in this town to fit into our broadcast here. With that, let's introduce again our guest today is Terry Fortner. She's the Director of Community Development at Bonnard General Health. Thank you for coming in, Terry.
Thanks, Chris and Susie, for having me. It's always nice to come by, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about all things BGH.
And you're very pretty in pink today.
Oh,
that's
thanks.
A really pretty pink thing that you have on.
So Terry, Bonnard General Health has got, obviously, like the biggest thing happening in town right now going on.
What's that?
That would be that would be the construction of the new medical office building that's on Cedar Street, right kitty corner to the existing hospital structure. So what's the plan now? How close are you to completion with the facility, and what's going to be in the big new building we see coming up?
We're really, really close. We're hoping to have a grand opening end of May, first part of June. weather permitting, I think that the milder winter helped the construction crews quite a bit, actually. They were able to accomplish a lot of things. And, of course, we all got really excited when we saw the Sky Bridge, because none of us look forward to traipsing through the puddles from building to building. For instance, community development will be in the new medical office building, and so I spend 50% of my time in my office and 50% of my time in the hospital itself. So it'll be nice to have a dry, warm pathway over traffic to get back and forth.
It connects the two buildings, and you have you're actually building an adjunct to the existing structure to connect those two.
Yeah, that is correct. So there will be an elevator on both sides because, of course, we do have patients who require an elevator versus stairs. And so you can elevator up to the second, rollover, strollover, however, to the second floor on the main hospital, and then elevator back down, you know, if you require services on the first floor, which most of our ancillary outpatient services are on ground level.
And, of course, people will access the new building directly from, basically, there's a big entrance at 4th Avenue, I believe.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And a covered drive through. You know, a lot of times it's so much more convenient to be able to drive in and drop someone off and then go figure out the parking, especially if they have physical limitations and it's a challenge for them to get, you know, to walk a great distance, which, believe it or not, a parking lot can be a significant distance for someone who's experiencing a health issue. So that's one of those convenience factors also. Yeah. We're pretty excited about all of the modern amenities that are included in the new medical office building. A lot of thought went into it, and things that most of us would never really stop to think about have been considered and are being implemented. It's pretty exciting.
And actually, I did the tour with some of the other folks last week. You did a couple of tours with some of the individuals in town. And of course, there's a lot going on inside right now, so we had to kind of dance around the construction. But I think everybody on the tour was very impressed with a lot of the thought that has gone into the design of the building. Mm-hmm. Even things like the light fixtures, for instance, mm-hmm. They're shielded in such a way that if you're a patient and you're laying on your back, as you might be during an exam of some sort, the lights aren't going to be brightly shining in your eyes. Those sorts of little tweaks to the building make it a very special use building.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think one of the things that's consistently a challenge, not just for Bonner General, but for all healthcare organizations, is creating an environment of care that really sees to the needs of the patient and takes into consideration the fact that people are nervous, maybe they're upset, anxious when they come in for a test. I mean, even something as routine as blood work, an x-ray, you know, that can create some consternation for people and really create that anxiety. And what we are attempting to do, especially with the new facility and then with future remodels to the current hospital itself, is a couple of different things. We want to create an environment that is welcoming and pleasing and that limits the amount of angst or anxiety that comes basically anytime you have to have something done in a doctor's office or in a hospital. And the other thing is that we know that we have exceptional staff. We have quality, compassionate caregivers at Bonner General Health. And we really were looking for an opportunity to elevate that environment of care to match the exceptional care that happens and occurs and is delivered every single day within the hospital. So there were some unique opportunities, some great opportunities to really create a beautiful space. I mean, there's a lot to be said about a healing environment. It can increase someone's comfort in a time of despair. So I think, again, like I said, there were so many things that were thought of and are on that checklist. I'm sure when you went on your tour, they kind of ran down a little bit of a laundry list, if you will, of things that were special or add-ons to increase that environment. And then the other part of the building, too, is that we needed to create some efficiencies of scale. So as an example, you know, Sandpoint Women's Health will share a waiting room with our diagnostic imaging department. And that's kind of important if you stop and think about it. You could be at an appointment and they could say, boy, we'd really like to have mammography, or we'd like to have an ultrasound. And it really is, not to sound cliche, but one-stop shopping. And we're looking for opportunities to create an efficiency with scheduling of certain types of patients, to be able to get kind of real-time testing done or screenings done so that it's more convenient for the patient and also for the caregiver, because if they're waiting for results, that means the patient's waiting for results. And so if we can lessen that gap and really create some efficiencies with their with those processes, I think it ends up being a better overall experience. I mean, we're all patients. It's just a matter of time. And usually it's when we really aren't planning on it or really have no desire to be that patient.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's a well thought out, long time coming to fruition project, state of the arts, serving a large community. What is, you know, there was a lot of thought into, we need to expand, we need more services in a different way. When did it all start, this thought process about
expanding? Oh my gosh. So I've been with Bonner General for about 3.5 years. And I know that the conversation was occurring many, many more years before I got there. I think our opportunity to partner with our friends at Parkwood really stepped things up and enabled us to go into a medical office building project without all of the responsibility or the burden of it. So it's really been a great relationship with them.
And we should clarify, Parkwood is the actual building developer.
Yes, they are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we're the tenant on the first and the second floors. Mm-hmm. As far as the thought processes behind how do we expand services or in many ways enhance or increase the quality of the services, this project has really helped us to be able to increase technology. Equipment is smaller, but does a better job now. And it's also enabled us to get some staff, you know, help them to become more highly trained. And so there are a lot of exciting pieces to this project. Probably one of the most exciting pieces is the tomosynthesis, which is our new digital imaging mammography. So if I can digress for just a moment, is that okay? So what happens when you go in for mammography, you know, they take an image, a breast image, and sometimes they see something, sometimes they know what they see. Many times if they see something, it means that you need to come back for additional testing. So let's gauge the anxiety factor. So you know you have to have this test done. And so then they see something. So that seeing something creates another added layer of anxiety for patients. And what we're going to be able to do, the tomosynthesis is such a clear picture that we will greatly, significantly reduce the need for callbacks for additional diagnostic imaging. Therefore, I think alleviating a lot of stress and anxiety that comes with something like we saw something, you know. that's pretty exciting. We're the only ones here who will have that. I can't speak for the other hospitals in the region, but I think we're topping out on the quality and the efficiency scope with that. The customer service opportunity with regard to having that kind of technology available here in Sandpoint it's amazing. I know we hear stories all the time that physicians weren't sure that they could get that quality image here. And so our patients end up traveling, you know, 45 minutes south or, you know, an hour to the west. And that's a huge inconvenience. It's typically a day off of work. Someone needs to go with you. It's just very difficult. And so really what we're trying to do is focus on how do we as Bonner General Health create opportunities for quality, compassionate care close to home. We really do want to be everyone's first choice for healthcare in this community, knowing that many of us choose to live and work here because of the quality of life. And so we want to be able to ensure that you have that quality of life for a long time to come.
Another thought, just thinking about that, is it's not only the building, the facilities, the equipment, it's the physicians, the personnel, the medical personnel. And when you have a state-of-the-art center, it will keep and continue to attract
That's right.
High quality medical staff.
Very true. Very, very true. And it is somewhat difficult to recruit and retain physicians in a smaller rural community. Bonner General Health is a critical access hospital, 25-bed critical access hospital status. And sometimes people say, well, that's a little small. But when they learn about what goes on within the walls or the big house, if you will, the hospital and the subsequent clinics and ancillary services that we operate, they're wowed. I mean, it is really amazing to think that this level of equipment, technology, expertise, credentialed providers are here in this small community. It's pretty exciting, actually.
Now, you mentioned a couple of the services that are going to be located in the new building. One of them is Sandpoint Women's Health, and as well as the diagnostic imaging services. Now, for Sandpoint Women's Health, that you're actually moving from your current location.
They are.
And and it's going to be a large expansion as well.
It will be. It will be. And I think at this point, we are looking forward to the opportunity to better serve that population. We have exceptional OBGYN providers with Sandpoint Women's Health and just an exceptional staff. And sometimes we really struggle with the space limitations. And so this will really allow us, I think, to run that clinic and treat those patients, care for those patients in a more efficient and meaningful way. And it'll be a beautiful space. Their current space is beautiful as well, and the staff is exceptional. This is just something new and different and expanded. It'll be very nice.
Yeah, and during our tour, we saw how they had the it laid out so that the exam rooms for the women's health is they're set up in such a way that if you open the door, you actually get a view of the outside. You're not looking into other
exam rooms.
Yeah, obviously a lot of thought went into the design.
Well, and privacy is important when you're a patient, and especially when you're a patient in a small town. It is difficult sometimes to pass through a waiting room and see 10 people you know. And if they acknowledge me, I'll approach and have a conversation. But if not, I keep walking because I really didn't see them there. And it's important. People have a right to their privacy, especially with regard to their health care.
You mentioned diagnostic imaging services will be there. You're also going to have your wound care clinic?
Yes, our wound care clinic, which is growing by leaps and bounds. Dr. Fisher does a remarkable job with his team. That's just a tremendous opportunity to, again, keep patients in our community rather than having to travel for those services. Many times it's weekly or multiple times per week appointments, just helping patients get to a point where their wounds will heal. And that'll be a nice expansion. They'll have more space.
Is that clinic currently in the existing building?
It is. It's in the hospital proper building at this point in time.
And there's going to also, you're also going to have your anticoagulation clinic in the new building. What's the purpose of that?
So if a patient is on a blood thinner, you know, typically it's Coumadin clinic is what they're referenced as. It's typically you have to have fairly frequent lab tests, you know, blood checks to make sure that the thinner's not, that you have enough in the system, but not too much. And it's really a delicate balance. And the thing that's really nice about the anticoagulation clinic is you can come in, have your blood drawn, the pharmacist meets with you, they look at levels, and it's just a real-time adjustment on those medications, which, again, you didn't have to drive 45 minutes or an hour to, you know, another clinic. It's a service that we're providing close to home. And also, it's an added convenience, I believe, for our physician partners in the community because you have to work those patients into what is already a very busy patient load.
I know one of the other things that people often move out of the area to get services is oncology.
Right.
Is this expanding into the new facility and our ability here to provide?
You know, I honestly don't know the answer to that. Currently, The cancer center that is housed within Bonner General Health is the Kootenai Clinic Oncology Services. We have a wonderful partnership with Kootenai Health, and actually there are five hospitals that are a part of an overall consortium of hospitals in our North Idaho region. We all work very collaboratively together on projects, and if it makes sense for us to partner with the larger medical center like Kootenai Health, then we obviously try to do that as much as possible. But it is an added convenience for, again, our patients because they can stay close to home.
Is that a fairly new collaboration with Kootenai Health?
Oh, no, that's been around for years.
Okay. Yeah.
Years
so
and
I
years.
Just wasn't aware of it. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
No, it's fine. It's just it's a great relationship. Mm-hmm. And they do so many things so well. Mm-hmm. And they have the critical mass, which means that they're able to really harness the power of their credentialed staff to perform those services. And it's a tremendous benefit to our patients,
well, it's
really.
It's good to know because that can be a burden to have to travel. Before we started the on-air portion of this, you were talking about some of the demographics and the services and the amount of services that are provided each year at Bonner Health.
Well, and they're great statistics, we think, and I know that when I have the opportunity to speak in the community about what goes on at Bonner General and what really makes Bonner General Health, it's a building or a series of buildings, it's services, and more than that, though, it really is about the people. And when you look at, we have over 400 employees, we're a fairly large employer in the community. And through those employees, we are able to pay out over $16 million annually in wages and benefits. In 2014, we received over $92,000 in contributions. We delivered 224 babies, which is pretty exciting. Yeah. That's the best part, really, honestly.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. In my little office, we have, I think nine people working. But we were in a meeting talking about Bonner General Health last week and went around the room. And everybody in there, myself excepted, and the five people had all had babies at Bonner General Health.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. That's really making a mark on the community.
Really is making a mark on the community. And I'm sorry we don't have a frequent flyer visitor program to mark that.
Yeah, a frequent baby program. Yeah,
frequent baby program, exactly. Yeah. That's pretty good. We had over 5,900 emergency department visits last year. We had over 21,000 rehabilitation visits. So your occupational therapy, hand therapy, physical therapy, if it's not working properly, mechanically speaking with your body, you've probably been to one of the clinics for some assistance with that. And then we did over 21,000 diagnostic imaging tests. That's a lot of radiology, a lot of x-rays.
No kidding. And if that wasn't available here in town, people would be having to drive to Coeur d'Alene or Spokane to get
exactly.
that done.
Yeah. And I do think, I do believe that that's a burden, to be quite honest. I think the more that we can expand and enhance services here, either on the inpatient level or the outpatient level, the more convenient and the better the experience is for our community. And we really are working hard since we did our brand change and really started evaluating the services and programs that we offer in the community. We're really working hard to make sure that that we're meeting the needs. And so all the time people will come and say, well, have you thought about doing, this kind of program or that kind of program? Well, all I have to do is mention it to the department director over, say, rehabilitation services. Oh, yeah, we can do a Parkinson's program. And it's phenomenal. It's called Big and Loud. And the opportunities there to enhance quality of life for those patients who are diagnosed with Parkinson's, things as simple as your gait when you walk, that starts to diminish over time due to that disease and your ability to speak and vocalize. And so there are some really great exercises that the staff do to keep those patients functioning at a very high level for a very long time.
I want to remind our listeners that we are speaking this morning with Terry Fortner. She's the Director of Community Development at Bonner General Health. And you're listening to the KFY Morning Show with Chris and Susie. Terry, another service that's going to be housed in the new medical office building is the performance therapy services. And what does that involve?
So that's basically rehabilitation. And we've moved away from using the word rehabilitation because it has other definitions as well. And really, we've moved toward what the focus or the scope of the work really is, which is to get people to have optimal physical performance. So whether you're recovering from a badly broken leg or a joint replacement, or you've had an accident, Parkinson's patients, it really is about working with you to get you to where you have actualized the highest level of performance physically that you can. And it's a great team of people. The work that goes on there is pretty remarkable.
And the new building is going to have a whole collection of health services. The existing structure is really going to retain the function of being in the critical care with the beds in the mm-hmm. emergency room. Is all going to be still in the existing building.
Exactly. Yeah. So the emergency department will stay, obviously, and our inpatient care units, so our medical surgical units, our family centered maternity unit, those will all remain in the main building, what most people know as Bonner General Hospital. And then some of those ancillary services, the rehabilitation, wound care, anticoagulation, diagnostic imaging, many of those services are moving and expanding their space, if you will, in the new medical office building, which will in the future enable us to grow and develop and rework some of our inpatient care units as well.
In the existing facility.
Mm-hmm.
Will you be adding any beds to the hospital?
Probably not. So our critical access hospital designation mandates 25 beds. And so, no, but that doesn't mean that beds may not be reconfigured in some way.
And have you ever found that 25 beds is adequate or not adequate? Or have you ever been full and turned them away at the inn?
You know, we are frequently full, and I honestly can't remember the last time that we were diverting patients, which means that we say we can't admit here, and they have to go, either south or west to one of the other facilities in the region. But we are frequently full. You know, things mm-hmm. like the flu fill up hospital beds mm-hmm. very, very quickly. I always get excited when I see the census for the day, because the first thing I look for is the family-centered maternity unit. And you see how many are on the unit and then how many are in the nursery. And so you know how many babies you're going to have within the next, 24 hours or so, and how many you had 24 hours prior. It's just kind of an exciting little thing to look at.
Yeah, hopeful and fun.
It is hopeful and fun.
So the new building really, it kind of reflects the fact that Bonner General, quote, hospital really is a lot more than a hospital now. It really is a, full service health provider for the community.
It is. It is. And I believe it always has been, but it was interesting when I came on board, and you know better, Chris, than probably anyone else. We went through a conversation about needing to update a website, and that grew into a much larger conversation about brand identity and understanding who we are and what we provide in the community. And it became blazingly apparent to myself and everyone gathered around that table that we really weren't telling the story well enough for the community to understand what services they could receive and access here in our community. And so it began, I think, a long journey, and we're still on it. We're not over it yet, because I think it's just going to continue to be a continuous performance improvement cycle, if you will, mm-hmm. for lack of anything better to call it. But really, when we started that dialogue about something as simple as a website, we should all giggle about a simple website, but it really morphed into a much greater conversation about where we're going as a healthcare organization and accepting the responsibility for caring for the health of our community. That was an enormous paradigm shift, if you will. Hospitals typically are viewed as, I'm sick, I go to the hospital. I'm sick, I go to the doctor, he might put me in the hospital. I'm going to have a baby, I go to the hospital. I broke my leg, I'm going to the emergency room. And really what is happening now is this new dialogue about what it means to have health and to restore health and to live a healthy life.
And to maintain it, as you say.
And to maintain mm-hmm. it.
Mm-hmm. That's very exciting. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of exciting things going on. You're going to be having a grand opening end of May, early June, it
yes.
sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole town has been watching all winter mm-hmm. and wants to get up there and try that walkway.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I got to try the walkway last week when we did the tour.
Was it fun?
Yeah.
looking.
It was.
Different.
It was fun. Yeah, something new in town. And believe it or not, there's kind of an interesting view from the walkway.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, looking down, what is it, Third Avenue?
Right.
There. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's neat.
So we really thank you for coming in today.
Well, thank
Terry
you for
Fortner.
Having me.
You're the executive director of Bonner General Health?
The director of community development.
Development. Okay. So I'm the director of community development, and I also serve as the executive director of Bonner General Health Foundation.
Okay.
So. And your CEO is Cheryl Rickard.
Cheryl Rickard is our CEO, yes. Mm-hmm. She's remarkable, and I think much of what we're witnessing here is Cheryl's vision. Mm-hmm. And I think what makes a great leader is the ability to have a vision and then to find the right people and put them in the right positions to implement. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are now. And it's a pretty exciting time to be at Bonner General Health. I'll say that for sure.
It's actually exciting for the whole town to see just a major infrastructure improvement for the town.
I also want to thank Bonner General Health and you for becoming the newest KRFY underwriter. Mm-hmm. So right now, while you're here, I'm going to read the announcement. Support for KRFY provided by Bonner General Health, offering professional, compassionate health care close to home for all residents in the region. More information available at bonnergeneral.org or by calling 208-263-1441.
Perfect.
Yep. That's and we really thank you for your support for KRFY also.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're going to want to get you in again when we get closer to the opening.
Absolutely. Yeah. That would really be fun to hear.
Sure. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay.
So thank you so much for coming in. We're going to take a musical break. Terry, hope you have a wonderful day too.
You as well. Thanks so much.
Yeah. And this break that we're going to have is Billie Holiday singing All of Me. And the reason we picked that song
Because this was her birthday.
It's her birthday.
9 years ago. I happen to know that. we should mention that when we come back from the break, we're going to be speaking with Owen Marcus. He's with the Sandpoint Men's Group.
Yep. And that will be interesting. A bunch of stuff about a movie that's coming up. Yep. So here's Billie Holiday, All of Me. We'll be right back. And that was Billie Holiday, All of Me. She was born on this day in 1915.
100 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. Amazing. What a voice. This is the KRFY Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. And I'm Susie Prez, one of your hosts, and Chris Bessler's with me. Hi, Chris, again.
Hey, Susie.
We're
Hello
back
again.
In the studio. And we have another guest. We're very excited. This is Owen Marcus. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning.
And we're happy to have you here. We're here because the Sandpoint Men's Group is hosting a movie, but really we want to hear a little bit about the Sandpoint Men's Group. We've had you in before. You were here when your book came out called Grow Up, and then also when the Sandpoint Men's Group had a movie out called About Men. And tell us a little bit about, you're one of the founders of the Sandpoint Men's Group. Tell us a little bit about the group and why it's important and what it does.
The group evolved out of a good 10 years prior me being in men's groups, and I wanted to create a new model for a men's group, something that really developed a brotherhood. And as men, we don't have brotherhood. And in this culture, maybe we had it when we were boys or in college or maybe the military, but as adult men, don't have brotherhood, and we need that. And it turns out that's how we learn to be emotional as men, which is different than how women are emotional. And so as men go through this process of being in the group and maybe our trainings, their relationships change because they start to learn skills that they never had models for.
Learning skills from each other through the group?
Exactly. Learning skills from each other. Because what happens is that it's as if our buried in a genome, which is 99.9% the same as it was in the tribe 10,000 years ago, we activate that dormant instinct of what it is to be a man. And so in these brotherhoods or these groups, men start teaching each other, not in a didactical way, but in an experiential way, just through communication. We start modeling, showing, questioning, supporting, challenging, acknowledging, and honoring each other for these new, which are really old, masculine, emotional skills.
So emotional skills, not physical chop wood, carry water kind of stuff. But being together, you learn from each other.
We learn from each other, and we support each other. And as adult men in this country, we don't really have a support system. We don't have a brotherhood. And we need it, and we need it to be a little different than how women have it.
Well, how you made an interesting comment that men experience emotion differently or express emotion differently than women. How would you describe the difference?
One of the differences is that first we feel it differently, and we wouldn't think this, but as men we tend to feel our emotions more in our bodies, even though as bodies we tend to be tighter than women. But as men start to really express their emotions, they start to want to take action, they want to move. And so a woman will just sit there and express, and they do it naturally. And we think, and we've been trained, because the model of masculine emotional intelligence is sort of skewed towards the feminine, so we believe that that's how we should do it as men. But when we get men in these groups, they start to learn that, hey, you know, as men, we do it a little differently. And once they find their natural groove, they start doing it. And one of the, I have five MQ skills, or masculine emotional intelligence skills. And one of them is assertive vulnerability, which is the ability to be vulnerable. We all know that that's a necessary skill for relationships and probably a successful life. But as men, we have to learn how to be assertive as we're being vulnerable. And that's really unique for men.
When you say vulnerable, is that like being open and willing to risk in a certain way?
Yeah, it means being open and vulnerable, maybe empathetic, but particularly it means being willing to first experience your own emotions and accept them for what they are. And then start to be able to share them and allow yourself to be impacted by other people, men and women or kids, and share that impact.
And you have found that through the men's group, Sandpoint Men's Group, and it's been going on for 10 years?
10 years.
That men coming together in these groups, and I know there's more than one because they've expanded so much, you've so much interest, from some even mundane things, you're finding these skills.
Yeah, it's not that, you know, we study this. I mean, I have, but really most of it really comes from just the interaction where men start being vulnerable. They start being authentic. And one of the unique things about a men's group is you take the other variables away, say women, relationships, kids, and you just put men together, all different ages, all different backgrounds, and they just start being real. And one of the things that really surprised me was how much fun that we have. Because we think about, you know, going to a men's group and being emotional is like the worst thing that we could ever do. Well, actually, you know, what keeps these men in, and we've got men that have been in there from the beginning 10 years ago, is because it's fun. You know, in the beginning, it might be more, it's not therapy, but therapeutic in the sense that we might have a problem in a relationship and we need some support. But men turn that around usually in 6 months, and they stay in for all these years because it's like their team sport, and they enjoy playing this sport, and they keep becoming more and more proficient at this skill or this sport, and it starts to generalize throughout their whole life.
So what's the format of a get-together for the men's group?
So it's every Wednesday for 4 hours we meet, and around town in different houses or offices. And we have a simple protocol, which is pretty obvious, like confidentiality. You come up and come on time. You don't drink before you come. And we just sit in a circle and we just follow this simple protocol where we just do a quick check-in. And then we start sharing what's happening, mainly in that moment, but maybe also based on what's been happening in that previous week. And each guy might choose an issue he wants to work on. And then we work on it. And how we work on it varies on what that issue is and what the man wants to do.
Are there other men's groups? I mean, this isn't just in Sandpoint. If men have come to this evolutionary point where there is a need for something that supports them in this way, it's all over the, it's in other places too.
Yeah, I certainly wasn't the first to create men's groups. There's a growing network of men's groups through different organizations like the Mankind Project, and we're going out there and training men. We did a month ago, we were in Chicago teaching a group that are these professors and deans at the University of Chicago that we were at the previous year doing the initial training, and this year we were doing the advanced training, because these men, like other men around the world, are saying, look, something's missing in our life. and how, and these are bright men, and they realize that we're not going to be able to get that in the normal course of life. So we need to get together on a regular basis and teach each other these skills and also have some fun.
So, Owen, are you attracting a certain, you know, a certain type of guys to this? Are, like, do they tend to be professionals? Are you getting blue collar workers, or what types of guys are coming?
Pretty much every type of guy in Sandpoint. We have men now that are in their late teens to mid 60s. Probably the biggest common denominator is business owners. And I've always found that those guys tend to be the most innovative and proactive. But beyond that, all different educations, all different kinds of economic backgrounds. And these are men that, you know, maybe initially they use the opportunity, the excuse of having a problem in their life, often around a relationship, but they have the courage and the foresight to say, look, you know, I want more out of life, and I'm willing to do something about this. And this group, which is free, has a history of helping.
I want to remind our listeners that we're talking with Owen Marcus. He's the Sandpoint Men's Group founder, and you're listening to the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show. Owen, you have a film coming into town called The Mask You Live In, and it's coming on April 18th. Tell us about that.
This film was just released at Sundance a month ago, and it's an amazing film about what boys and really men struggle with in terms of our emotional mask. And in other words, what we're expected to be like as a boy and as a man. And this has been that emotional water we've been swimming in for not just decades, but centuries. And this film really starts to deconstruct that model and challenges us as a culture to look at that and really look at what we're doing to particularly our boys and how we set them up for failure.
Now, this was produced by the Representation Project, or on behalf of the Representation Project. What is that? What is that organization?
That was started and run by a woman that Jennifer that did a film on girls a couple years ago and was a huge success. And she has a young boy and realized, you know, these boys are really struggling. And in some ways, they're struggling more than these girls are. And so she's decided to start her own project or, you know, sub-project around studying boys and then turned it into a film and it got released at Sundance. And now her nonprofit is out there supporting communities and schools to show this film so we can start to really become aware of how we limited ourselves with this model of what it is to be a man, particularly around our emotions.
I can see the value of a film like that for even teachers in schools.
And parents. Both genders.
Absolutely.
The moms probably would be very interested in this film as well, because it is about raising men, right? Raising boys to be men.
Right. And in this white man culture, we assume that, you know, being a white man is a privilege. And it is. And we've assumed that. We also have not really been aware of the cost that we play. And the cost is these masks that we wear. And they've really put us in these boxes. And we want to change what that is for boys and for men. And in the group, we work on the men. And our experience is we change how men relate to themselves around emotions and really everyone else emotionally. We change how they impact and model for the boys.
Having a son myself, I'm very happy that there's emphasis being moved towards seeing how men are in our society and giving support to being a true human, and not having the mask be who you are. So that's appreciative. Anything more about the film? You've seen it, I'm sure. And it's playing at the Panada?
It's playing at the Panada. The doors open at 6 o'clock on the 18th. So I'm going to actually do a little talk about the group, about masculine emotional intelligence, and really the journey of the last 10,000 years and the impact on men and consequently boys, and what we certainly experience as a solution to this problem that the film talks about. It'll be a silent auction because we've got a tremendous support from the community and a lot of businesses. And so they volunteered to auction off some of their services and products to help us. And we'll show the film. And then after the film, we'll answer questions. Because when we showed the film a year ago about men, which is a documentary about our men's group, we stayed an hour after and we had to push people out because there was such interest, not only from men, but from women and even young men and young women about what we did as a group. So we expect that there'll be even more interest in this film.
Oh, and if people want to get in touch with you to either learn more about the film or about Sandpoint Men's Group, what's a good way for them to do that?
They can go to the Sandpoint Men's Group's website, which is sandpointmensgroup.com, and they can are welcome to call me at 265-8440, and we'll do what we can to support you in getting to the film and bringing your family and friends, and we're supporting the local schools in showing the film themselves.
Oh, the films will be shown at some of the schools too?
We're working on that. Yeah. The producer's working on a, you might say, a G version of the film, because this film is, I wouldn't know if it's R, but there's some swearing in it because it's about these kids and their experience of being stuck in this mass. So it's not a PG rated film. The producer's coming out with a film that will be appropriate for the schools.
For the schools. Okay.
Oh, that would be helpful. Really appreciate that you came in to tell us about the film and the Sandpoint Men's Group.
And we will have more information about the film and the showing with the date, times, and details for contact on the KFY.org website, as well as in the Sandpoint Online calendars.
And there'll be a podcast. Is that what you just said? I wasn't listening.
No, what? You weren't listening.
I was thinking about this board here.
I was just mentioning that we're going to have details available online on our own website, KFY.org.
Thank you. Yeah. And so again, thank you, Owen, for coming in and for the work that you're doing here in our community.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. We're going to hear a song here. This is the Beatles, Got to Get You Into My Life. This was released on this day in 1966. We'll be right back with the community calendar. And that's the Beatles, Got to Get You Into My Life, which was recorded on this day in 1966. We're back in the studio with Chris and Susie on the KRFY Morning Show. I want to let our listeners know there's a new show airing tonight on 88.5 KRFY. And it's called Between the Notes, and I'll be your host for this next 12 weeks for this Tuesday night series at 8 o'clock. It's listen to live interviews with and original music from songwriters. They will share ideas, insights, and their personal songwriting journey. So these are interviews with songwriters about songwriting.
And those are local songwriters?
Yes. Yeah. Well,
will they all be here in the studio?
Live mm-hmm. in the studio. Okay. Some will bring their instruments. We'll be hearing their original music. This week, my guest is Jackie Henrian, who is the host of Songs, Voices, Poems here on 88.5 that airs on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And Jackie has been writing music for a very long time, and it's going to be very interesting. And we'll hear some of her music, too. Mm-hmm. But the craft of songwriting is not just for songwriters. This will inspire anyone to find that creative spark inside yourself. So that's tonight at 8 o'clock.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other things going on around town this week. It's really a packed calendar. Among the things that are coming up is the conversation on Thursday. That's all artists from the Sandpoint area invited to attend this to hear sculptor Steve Gervitz from 6 to 8 p.m. at Ivano's Ristorante. And Steve will be talking about his works and how he approaches his works. And everybody's invited to it, actually, not just artists. It's at Ivano's at 6 to 8 p.m. on Thursday.
And they're saying the conversation aims to enrich our artistic community by cultivating conversations on and about the creative processes. And that's kind of what the show tonight is about, too.
Tomorrow, Wednesday, there's a Pints for Clean Water fundraiser. It's at the Idaho Poor Authority And that is from 4 to 7 p.m. It's a fundraiser for the Lake Pendere Waterkeeper. On Thursday, there's going to be a really excellent concert, I'm sure. The Scott Kirby is going to be playing a benefit concert at the Panada Theater, and that is from, there's a matinee performance actually at 4 p.m. That's on Thursday the 9th. It's going to combine his original artwork, video footage, his photography. He's really an excellent visual artist, but he's especially outstanding as a pianist. So he'll have live piano music. The matinee is at 4 p.m. and then the main performance is at 8 p.m. That's Thursday, April 9th at the Panda Theater.
Yeah, Scott is an amazing pianist and artist. It's going to be quite a show. I went to a house concert that he did many, many years ago, and it was quite inspiring.
There's also on Thursday, there's the biggest comedy tour ever. It's a fundraiser for 24 Hours for Hank and Team Laughing Dog. This is at the 219 Lounge, and it features some comedians, some touring comedians, Morgan Preston and Jason Stewart. And that, it starts at 8 p.m. There's no cover charge, but a donation to support these two charities is much appreciated. On Friday, there is going to be another very interesting event happening. It's called Damnation. It's a film screening of a documentary produced by Patagonia about America's growing movement to restore healthy rivers through the removal of costly, outdated dams. That's being put on by Idaho Rivers United and Idaho Conservation League. Again, that's on Friday, April 10th. And the doors open at 6:30 p.m. The film screens at 7:30 p.m. And that's at the Sandpoint Events Center on Euclid Street.
And on Friday night, as we mentioned, it's the Shook Twins at the Hive. That's April 10th. You can get more information by calling 208-457-2392. It is a benefit for the Sandpoint Waldorf School. You can also call 265-2683 for ticket information. And they will be here in the studio tomorrow at 9 o'clock to give you a little preview of what the concert at the Hive will be like. So you can tune in for that. Also on Thursday, Jim and Jack will have... Who are they going to have in there? I get it. They are going to have Team Laughing Dog Race Across America that supports awareness and research for cystinosis. That will be on Thursday on the KRFY Morning Show. And next week, I will have Garden Talk, just so you know, on Tuesday. So you don't have to show up, Chris.
You mean gardening with all this snow we have around?
I know.
How does that work?
I'm not sure. But we hope you have a wonderful day. We're going to end here. And this is Jillian Welsh, Winter's Come and Gone. You okay with that title?
That sounds good.
Okay.
The going part. We're ready for that now.
We hope you have a beautiful day.
Yeah. Bye now.